listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it is written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail. For what He has said, He will do. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I really don't need to write to you about how and when all of this will happen. He's been talking about the catching away of the saints, the death, the resurrection of Christ, and the death and the resurrection of the righteous. And so he's saying, I don't need to do this, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly. It's saying that there will be many people who are not expecting the rapture to take place. However, that is not the condition of the church. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night, when people are saying, all is well, everything is peaceful and secure. Then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a woman's birth pains begin when her child is about to be born. Suddenly, right? You ladies know about that. And there will be no escape. But verse 4 is what I want you to take note of. But you aren't in the dark. Amen. I say, well, the lights are on. No, I'm not talking about that. You are not without information. You are well informed. You are the advanced class. You have the inside story. And I don't believe we need to apologize for being blessed and highly favored. Some people have a problem talking about Americans being, you know, blessed and highly favored. But let me tell you, as Christians, we are blessed and highly favored. And I'm not going to make excuses for that. That is what my Father has done for me and for you, and there's plenty of blessings to go around, and there's no shortage in His economy. Praise God. So we are not in the what? Dark. We're not in the dark about these things. Dear brothers and sisters, and the first part, you won't be in the dark, you won't be surprised. We talked about that last week. The world will be. Was Noah surprised when God shut the door? No. He'd been building that boat for a long time. He was looking for that day. He was expecting that day to come, any day. But for those who didn't believe, in fact, it was the whole generation, everyone on the globe except just his family, really, there were only 8 saved. To them, it came as a surprise. Why? Because they didn't make room in their heart for God or the truth. Amen? Well, you're not in the dark. You won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. And now we come to our third point in these scriptures. For you, now look at somebody and say you, for you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and the night. Darkness has no hold on us, no grip, no charge against us. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert, be sober. There's a whole lot of things here that talks about, you know, when you're awake. You may as well be alert if you're awake, not asleep, on your guard, on your watch, on your mission. But let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the body armor of faith and love. So, we're not of the dark, right? We're not in the dark. We will not be surprised, and we are children of light. We're children of light. Means God's brought us into His family, and we now are the children who not only have experienced the light, we carry the light as well. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that this morning. As I was looking at this passage and thinking about John 3:16. You remember Papa, my wife's dad, he would always be putting his hand up. And he would say, "Can I give my testimony?" And if you remember, "I want to give my testimony." We'd be in Bible study. He'd be sitting there. It didn't matter. Singing could be going on. You know, I could be teaching. Somebody could be sharing. And Papa, you know, he's in his 90s. And Papa, he just wanted to be polite but say, "Could I give my testimony?" And all of you who were around Papa, you heard his testimony. And it was John 3:16. He'd just say, "For God," he'd say, "let me give my testimony. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." Remember Papa doing that? It didn't matter. We could be at Cracker Barrel and we would be walking out and like, "What happened to Papa?" And he'd be back at somebody's table and he would say, "God is so good to me. And let me just tell you my testimony." And then he would start, "For God so loved the world." And he would share that story. And I thought, that is awesome. Here's Papa in his 90s. His mind's not quite as sharp as it was for most of his life. But he constantly found somebody to say John 3:16 to. Was powerful. And I don't remember anyone that didn't let him share it. I mean, I don't know what they would have said. I mean, you know, he's an elderly gentleman. But people were polite. They listened. They let him share. And I thought, you know, I believe the enemy wants us to quiet it down and not be very outspoken, and to kind of carry this love of God and carry this gift of God and carry the anointing of God in a little package that we wrap up really tight. And the enemy says, "You don't want to let that out because somebody will be offended." We are children of the light, and the light has to get out. Any of you ever heard of a prophet by the name of Hosea? Yes? Let's see if we can find Hosea. As I was in prayer, I just kept thinking about this man. He's a prophet, right? Hosea in chapter 1, Hosea, it says in chapter 1, verse 2, "When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea," he's a mouthpiece for God. "God said to him, 'Go and marry a prostitute.'" Are you serious? Some of you may not know that's in the Bible. It's right here in the Bible. "Go and marry a prostitute." The prophet, the mouthpiece for God, is instructed to do this. And he did it. He went and married her. And then he ended up having some children with her. And then she decided she's going to leave. And she left him. And she went back, as far as we know, to a life of prostitution. And maybe she would come back on occasion. We don't know the day-to-day details. But we know that she is out. In fact, she gets into some kind of trouble to where she actually is imprisoned. And she is, as a common street prostitute, and she's going to be sold in the market. And so God says something else to Hosea. Chapter 3, verse 1. Go and get your wife. Didn't say go and get, you know, that woman. No, he said, go and get your wife. And so, you know the story. He went and he actually buys his wife back. And then, you know, it tells us, I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. Then he had a little talk with her. He said, I said to her, you must live in my house for many days and stop your prostitution. So in the beginning, he marries her, and it is a covenant. It's a love relationship. God gave this prophet love for his wife. Now he actually has purchased her back, and he says, now listen, you're going to have to live in my house and stop your prostitution. And during this time, you will not have sexual intercourse with anyone, not even me. He's saying it's time for you to clean up your act. You go, Pastor, what does that have to do with Christmas? This kind of looks like an R-rated message this morning. What are you talking about? What is this all about? Well, if you go to chapter 4, you will find out how serious the condition was in Israel at this time. Hear the word of the Lord, verse 1. O people of Israel, the Lord has filed a lawsuit against you, saying, now listen to what God saw when he looked at his people. He saw faithlessness. Yeah, there's no faithfulness. What did God see? God saw that his people had become a spiritual prostitute. And so God files this lawsuit. He's making his statement. He said, there's no kindness, there's no knowledge of God. He said, you curse and you lie and you kill and you commit adultery. And there is violence everywhere with one murder after another. Almost sounds like a democratic Ren City. That's terrible to say, isn't it? My son was telling me, you know, you'll hear this stuff in the news about how we have all of this crime and all of this murder and all of these problems in the United States, and how with all of the other nations of the world, we are like one of the worst. My wife and I, we were on the Mount of Olives one day, and they have camel rides on the Mount of Olives if you've been there. And the owner of the camel, he invites you to come over and feel the camel. I wash my camel with Breck shampoo. Smell my camel. He's clean. Which I didn't smell him, but I did touch him. But the man who owned the camel, he wanted us to bring our group over and go for camel rides, right? And he said to me, I know your country. I've been to your big cities. He's mentioning New York and Chicago and different places. He said, I've been over there. He said, I'm not going back to America. It's much safer here than it is over there. My son told me, if you take the 3 top crime cities that are all managed by liberals, and you take all of the crime of those cities out of the big picture, then we're like the second or third safest place in the world. God looked at his people and he said, my people have become people who have lost their way. And our nation has lost its way. Trying to redefine marriage and, oh, these wonderful names they put on all of this stuff, but how wicked it is. And the Marriage Act with Democrats and about 10 or 12 Republicans voting for this garbage. We need to clean the house. I mean, we don't need to have a definition of marriage by liberal, wicked, godless politicians. We know what marriage is. And it's been established since creation. In the garden, it's not like, you know, well, let's figure this out. I heard someone say the other day, we're in big trouble when we have national leaders who cannot define what a woman is. Yeah, I remember being asked a question, can you define what a woman is? No, I really can't do that at this time, you know. What, my training doesn't qualify me to determine that. Well, that's kind of crazy. Ask any one-year-old what a woman is and who his mom is. He will know that. God said about his people, he said that they had lost their way. You curse, you lie, you kill, you steal, you commit adultery. There's violence everywhere. One murder after another. That is why your land is not producing. See, today, all of our liberals want to say, well, problem with the environment is, you know, it's your hairspray and it's your SUV and it's... Do you know the environment was having problems long before the hairspray and the SUV? And God said the reason why the environment is suffering is because you've rejected God. Romans talks about everything in creation groaning, looking forward to the day when Jesus will come back, the Prince of Peace, and will bring order to the planet. So this is not a new thing. Liberals don't have a new thing going on. This is simply the same thing that always happens when people turn their back on God. This is why your land is not producing, your crops. It is filled with sadness. All living things are becoming sick and dying. This is your environmental passage of Scripture for you as a Christian to say, no, this is not new. Look at this. The fish are dying. There's sadness in the land. All things are becoming sick. The animals, the birds have begun to become extinct. They're dying off. Why are they dying off? Because of the sin and the wickedness and the self-centeredness that takes place when sin reigns the land. Don't point your finger at somebody else. Try to pass the blame. This is God's report. I mean, it could be the papers today, right? We could go, yeah, here we are. Look, you priest. Uh-oh. God's going to pick on the preachers. The priest. You are familiar with that scripture in 2 Chronicles, aren't you? 7:14. Does it say the problem is that the darkness is dark? Or does he say the problem is that sin is evil? Or does God say the solution is my people get it right again? If my people who are called by my name. Say, well, there's a lot of people that call themselves God's people, but they don't even know the Lord. Yeah, but we do. Remember we started where it said, you are not in the dark, you're not going to be surprised, and you're children of the light. And then it says, and you live in the light. You're not just children who know the difference between, yeah, even I can tell you, you know, that's dark, that's wicked, that's evil, and that's good. No, it's not just being able to discern, but that is the work of God in our life, to know the difference. But it is the ability to demonstrate and live a life in the light. So God puts his fingers, points his fingers at the priest, says, my complaint's with you. As a sentence for your crimes, you will stumble in broad daylight, just as you might at night, and so will your false prophets. And I will destroy your mother Israel. And look at verse 6. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Yours may say it a little different, but it says, my people are being destroyed. Why? A lack of knowledge. A lack of what kind of knowledge? Isn't this strange? Because the word says in the last day, knowledge will escalate. Knowledge will multiply. Knowledge will increase in the last days. And yet God is saying, my people, those who call themselves by my name, they are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge of God. They've lost it. You know how you lose knowledge of God? You allow other things to take the place of God. We sing these songs that... At Christmas, we sing these songs about there's room in my heart. I make room in my heart. The story of Hosea is it's a love story. It's a love story of a loving God who has a broken heart because his bride has rejected him. And Hosea gets to live this out. So God says to the priest, I'll hold you guys accountable for this. People are destroyed because you're not doing your job. How many people don't know what the difference is between the light and the dark because the priest in the house is afraid to preach the truth? When a pastor says to me, oh, I can't talk about homosexuality. I can't talk about a lesbian lifestyle. I can't talk about the LGBTQ community. I can't talk about premarital, out of wedlock, sex. I can't talk about these kinds of things. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm going to leave you in the dark because you may not like the light to come on. If the house of God becomes a place where the light of God is revealed, then the anointing of God can bring salvation and healing to the church. And the church needs salvation and healing. So the lights must be on. And God is saying, I'm holding you accountable, priest, because my people do not have the knowledge. And we know the word. Faith comes by
hearing.
So if there's no messenger that's giving the truth, then the people have ears, but they're not hearing. So they're not receiving a faith that motivates them to respond to God and His Word. Revelation, the letters to the seven churches. What is the repeated message about hearing? Let him who has ears hear. Hear what? There's a commendation. God commends. Isn't that nice? God sees everything. He even commends the ones that are really out of order and they're getting ready to have their lamp put out. He commends them for anything that's commendable. But the light never dodges the issues. The light will find the corner. The lights are on. It'll run under the tables. Maybe not as bright. The light will chase even back into the bush in the tree. The light will find its way into the darkness. It'll penetrate the darkness. And it will bring revelation. So my people perish for lack of knowledge. They perish. They die without knowledge of God. This isn't talking about people outside of church. God is talking to His own people. He's saying, my own people are perishing, and they're perishing in the temple because the leaders will not tell the truth. God said, I hold them accountable. It's all your fault. People are being destroyed. You priests, for you yourself refuse to know me. So for a long time when we didn't have ministry about purity in the house of God, after a while we started finding out why. Because the priests were immoral themselves. And the very things that God hated, they had endorsed in their own life. And then, of course, they don't preach against it because they participate in it. This is Israel, or is this America? Now I refuse to recognize you as my priest, since you have forgotten the laws of your God. I'll forget to bless your children. The more priests there are, the more they sin against me. They've exchanged the glory of God for the disgrace of idols. Priests get fed when the people sin. Remember that? They'd sin so they would bring their offerings. The priests would be fed when they sin. So the priest came up with this business plan. It's good for the people to sin, because the more they sin, the more food we get. Wrong. God didn't see it that way. Like priest, like people. Since the priests are wicked, the people are wicked. Ah. Well, this isn't the end of the story. You know, this whole book is about the love of God for a wayward people, a stiff-necked people, a hard-hearted people. This whole story is about, it's an unbelievable love that God has. It's beyond understanding. It's beyond comprehension. When we say, for God so loved that God gave His one and only Son, when we look at the incarnation, God becomes flesh and dwells amongst us that we might have God with skin on that's here with us. It's beyond comprehension. But chapter 6, even back for Hosea, come, verse 1, come, let us return to the Lord. Some years ago, somebody said, Pastor Jonathan, I think you're a revivalist. I said, why? Why do you think I'm a revivalist? He said, well, every message is a message of repentance and salvation and invitation and expectation. And I said, thank you for the compliment. That's what ministry is to be, is it not? It is to be a message of God loves us. We're rotten. We're filthy without God. We are untouchables. We are unclean. We don't know our way until God gives us the light, calls us out of darkness, and then begins to call the darkness out of us. So in chapter 6, we get to 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. Who? Who is the invitation to? It's to all of those people. The faithless, the ones with no kindness, the ones with no knowledge, the ones that are cursing and lying and killing and stealing and destroying, that are involved in violence everywhere. God says, come, 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 come.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.